Being blind is not a funny thing. I can't imagine being blind or living in that world. Well, a few weeks ago, of course, you all know that you received a prayer request from me. I was sitting in urgent care, but I'm going to give you a little backstory first. So we were sitting at work, and we have a daily meeting that I attend, and it's about 15 minutes long, and we go through our bugs that we have for the day in the software and what we're doing to fix them. There's seven or eight guys that attend, and everyone's always talking to each other, and what is his title? Anyways, our boss usually wears contacts. Well, he wasn't wearing contacts today. He was wearing glasses. And so someone made a comment. And they said, hey, you're not wearing your contacts. And he said, yeah, just giving him a break and, just a good thing to do every once in a while. And everyone was kind of like piping in, chiming in. I was like, oh, I never have any issues. I keep my contacts in all the time. And, we were talking about, and there was a couple of guys who mentioned that they had issues with their contacts in the past and can cause serious issues. I just blew it off. I'm like, yeah, it never happens to me. Whatever, Well, what they didn't know is that I'd been wearing the contacts that I had in for on and off for a couple months. You're not supposed to wear contacts that long. And there would be times where I would actually go like maybe a week without taking my contacts out, which you're also not supposed to do. So anyways, we're sitting in this meeting. Well, okay, back up. 2 days. So when I got home that night, I was like, okay, you know what? I've been wearing these contacts for about a week. I really should take them out. I know I should, so I did. I put them in the solution. I left them there for 2 days. I put my glasses on. Well, come that next morning, I put them back in, and I got to work. Everything was fine. We started our meeting, and all of a sudden, my eyes went cloudy. It was like a film came over my eyes. It was quite scary. So, I called my doctor, called my eye doctor, called Manuela, and I decided to go to urgent care because I couldn't get an appointment. So I sat in urgent care. And let me tell you, urgent care is not urgent. They're doctors. We'll leave it at that. I sat there for 4 hours. In the meantime, I had plenty of time to think, to pray, to watch people, to think about going blind, to think about what would happen if I went blind, how I would provide for my family, etc. And I had to think about, I had pride, I had ego when I was sitting there in that meeting thinking that nothing ever went wrong with my eyes, that I never had any problems. And then I got a couple messages from people saying they were praying and whatnot, and it started to clear up. While I was sitting there, my eyes started to clear up. And by the time the doctor came in to take a look, he took a look at my eyes and he says, I don't see anything wrong with your eyes. You look healthy, everything looks okay. And so I walked away from that situation very thankful. Thankful for God's healing and for the faith that I had that he would heal. And thankful for the prayers that I received. It also made me think about the Apostle Paul. Before he became Paul, he was Saul. Now, Saul was bent on destruction of the church. He persecuted people even to the death. He was persistent on this way, extremely so. But God had to get to him, so he blinded him. Well, let's turn to Acts chapter 9, and we'll begin in verse 1. Beginning Acts 9 and verse 1, then Saul, still breathing threats and murdering and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Talk about a humbling moment in this man's life. When you put yourself in Saul's shoes, I mean, just a couple hours of, I mean, I could still see, but it was definitely blurry. It was scary. But to have your eyesight completely taken away from you, that's really just a powerful thing to happen. But it made Saul stop in his tracks completely. Nothing else mattered in his life all of a sudden. This made me think about things a little bit more. You know, our quest, if we choose, is to purify ourselves, to come to have spiritual sight. Spiritual sight allows us to begin to see where we are, who we are, and how to change. You know, growth in the Spirit of God is the daily challenge we each face. And it's hard to do when we're not studying or praying as we should. When we don't keep the Word of God in our minds at all times, how can we change our spiritual sight? Satan wins when we stop trying. When we feel like there is no point to keep changing. With this in mind, I wanted to read Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18. Well-known scripture, Revelation 3, 17 and 18, talking about the lukewarm church, those who have the attitude. "Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and that you anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see." This end time attitude of being half awake, half asleep, not really caring what's going on day to day, is the attitude that Christ warns that is going to be prevalent at this time. And we see it playing out. In verse 15, it says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. And I wish that you were either cold or hot." You know, these people are right in the middle, comfortable, content, not really caring, maybe waiting for the end to come. But there's no zeal. They have no excitement. They're just there for the ride. And I've seen areas in my own life where this plays out. And you have to be very careful to make sure that this type of attitude doesn't take hold. Because it is easy to allow. You know, we live at a time when there's never been so much information. There's never been so much wealth. But there's also never been a time where there's so many things that are happening that we can't take it all in, that there's so much information overload. But the answer is very clear. Continuing on in verse 19 of Revelation 3, says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me, my voice opens the door. I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." The turnaround is to accept Christ's rebukes and to become zealous. The word zealous is described as being enthusiastic or showing eagerness, having active interest and enthusiasm. Do we find it hard to accomplish this? Again, from personal experience, I know that it's not easy to have zeal, to have courage, to be enthusiastic at all times. It takes a complete shift of our mindsets, from doubt and fear and anger and frustration to hope and faith and courage and strength. I'd like to turn to Galatians chapter 4 and beginning in verse 8. Galatians 4 and verse 8 says, "But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage?" Verse 10, "You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. In my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, or even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you, I would like to be present with you now, but to change my tone, for I have doubts about you." You know, Paul struggled with his eyesight, but he never let it stop him from being close to God and preaching the truth to the brethren. He warned brethren time and again that people will always start to turn away from the truth. They will lose their sight over simple matters, and they will simply wander off. You know, he explains here that he is just as human as any of us. He struggled with weaknesses. He struggled with pain, with his eyesight. And yet, because he dared to stand up for the truth, people who once stood by him were now walking away. But it didn't stop him from continuing on. Instead, as he just told us, we have to continue to be zealous for good things. You know, there is nothing that we gain on our own. But it's when we seek God faithfully and lay our problems and our issues before him and ask for wisdom with how to deal with whatever we're going through, that he will answer. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 and 3 reads, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher," or the perfecter, "of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." You know, God realizes that becoming weary and discouraged is a very real possibility. That's not a joke. It's real life. But this is exactly why we need Christ and God working in our lives. When there are rebukes from Christ, that's the time that we need to pay attention. We are those who believe that nothing happens by time and by chance to us. So if we are aware of this fact and we go through trials, then it is, and we know that it is, for our growth, if we choose to look at it this way. It all depends on our state of mind and our sight on God and our end goal. The Bible states that without a vision, people perish. You can find that in Proverbs 29:18. If we choose to look away from our vision of entering into the kingdom of God, or we entertain any other ideas, we will perish. The good news is that Paul received his eyesight back. In Acts 19 and verse 7, it says, "And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me, that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" Brethren, our sight can be bright. It can be focused. We can find this courage and we can find the strength to make this happen. We have to want it. We have to realize that God has called each of us for a reason. And we have to have faith that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will not allow us to go through any trial except where he is going to make a way for escape. And he will not allow us to fail unless we walk away.